Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass.
That means it's time for a school update here on KCSI KOAK Radio. Tune in each weekday morning at 6:15 a.m. as we visit with schools from throughout the Country Sunshine listening area. School updates proudly presented here on KCSI by your friends at Shenandoah Sanitation, 712-246-3350.
Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's 14 minutes past the hour of... 14 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock, and I have with me Ron Lorenz this morning, superintendent of the Red Oak Community School District. Good morning, Mr. Lorenz.
Good morning. No walk-up music today.
I have some music dialed up here.
We were visiting, so we didn't get the full experience.
We're going to have the full experience. How are things going?
They're going well.
Yeah.
The weather's changing, so I worked on the motorcycle all weekend. I was really excited I was going to get out and ride today, and now it's raining.
Not today.
I guess I'll just have to...
We need the rain, though.
Yeah, we do. So I'll deal with my own disappointment.
What'd you do with the motorcycle?
I put a new rear light, license plate frame and light. Just kind of took off the big clunky one that I haven't liked very much. So
okay.
I felt pretty manly. I was doing some wiring stuff and, you know.
You felt, yeah.
Thank goodness for YouTube.
Exactly.
I had my tablet out in the garage just kind of following along. And
see, it sounded cool until you said that.
Well... I think anybody who knows me is probably not going to buy cool for very long.
There you go. How are the Chiefs doing?
Chiefs are coming back.
Oh, typical Chiefs fan right there.
All you doubters, I'm just going to say this. Those of us who, you know, these long-suffering Chiefs fans, we knew. You know, 0-2 doesn't mean anything.
They're coming back.
They're coming back. The offense has come to life. Defense has always been stout. I think everybody better hunker down because all the pundits may have been a bit premature in announcing the demise of Chiefs dynasty, buddy.
We'll see. When do they play tonight?
They play this evening.
Who do they have?
They face the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. Yes. Some question as to whether Xavier Worthy will be able to play tonight, which could be a setback, but they'll find a way.
Kelce too old, too distracted with Taylor?
I think Kelce is probably... He's just been alone. They haven't had any receivers. They haven't been very dynamic in terms of their offense. But, you know, Tyquan Thornton, a cast off for the Patriots. Now he's taking the top off of defenses. You get Xavier Worthy back, who's arguably the fastest guy in the NFL. And Rashee Rice is just one more game away. And
oh, listen, this is a...
They get all the pieces on the field. It's Katie bar the door. I'm just telling you. Look out.
Oh, gosh. We'll see.
You asked the question.
What time's kickoff tonight?
It's, 7:20 or something like that? I don't like Monday night games.
No?
Because like you, I get up kind of early.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
Yeah.
When you stay up till 11 and then you have to get up at 5.
Yeah.
And you've already had a couple hours of work by 5, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm not. You're not tugging at my heartstrings.
No sympathy?
No, not at all.
Well, I will soldier through.
Who's your college team?
The Hawkeyes.
You have a college team?
You know, it's hard. The Hawkeyes are hard to watch.
Yeah.
It is, and I'm an old school, you know, defensive guy. I love the ground and pound, and football is cannibalism. But, man, the Hawkeyes take that to new levels.
Well, that's just kind of what they are, kind of how their year is going.
For
the while, it's been that way. So will this be? Well, anyway, let's talk about.
Let's move on. Yeah, we can go back to the Chiefs.
Let's talk about school.
Okay.
The Red Oak Community School District, Ron Lorenz. I have a couple things I want to talk about. Enrollment being one of those, and you don't know the answer to the question I'm going to ask, but certified enrollment count was taken October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
You're still working out the details of that, but generally speaking, up or down?
We're down, but we are not near as down as I feared we would be. There was a point where I thought we were going to be 60, 70, 80 kids down.
On top of 86 or 7 last year.
Yeah, last year. And I am just tickled that it looks like we're kind of in the 18 range, which is our average for the last 15 plus years. So if,
which is not great, by the way.
No, it's not anything to be excited about, other than the fact that it's not as bad as it could have been. So when I say that, we take a every year we take a count. The first day of October is this snapshot in time where we just count the kids that are there. And then we have to go through this lengthy process of reconciling with other districts to make sure that everybody is counting the tuitioned in, the tuitioned out, the open enrolled in, open enrolled out, dual enrolled, all of those different weighted numbers.
Yeah.
And that's, we have 2 weeks, so I think that's October 15th, that's due, so we will have a solid number. And the reason that's important is because that number drives our state funding for the following year. And that, so that's huge. That's something that we keep a pretty close eye on. Like I said, our numbers are preliminary, but it's better than I had thought.
Ron Lorenz with me, superintendent of the Red Oak Community School District. So I'm going to get into a couple of things here around enrollment. The Iowa Virtual School. What's going on with Iowa Virtual School?
Iowa Virtual School is up and running. They're accepting students. They're serving kids. I think they're about 40 kids enrolled right now. And as you and I were talking off air, we had anticipated more kids, but what's happened is the folks that run the Iowa Virtual School, the folks that partner with us in running the Iowa Virtual School, have discovered the true depth of the bureaucracy in the state of Iowa. And that is to say that it is much more
challenging
than in the other states that they serve. So I don't know that they had a very clear sense of just how much red tape there is here in Iowa, but they're doing a nice job of navigating it, and I think they're doing a really good job in terms of their onboarding process. We don't take every single kid. It's not a money grab. We need to make sure that we can serve those kids effectively and that they're good candidates for an online program. So the process that the Iowa Virtual School is using is very robust. It's very detailed. We're having intake meetings. They're doing everything possible to make sure that parents understand that this is an actual school. This is not just a figurehead, so to speak, and you get to say you're going to school. You're actually expected to attend. Now, for those kids that...
You mean you actually have to get an education to do this?
Yeah, that's the...
Imagine that.
That's the baseline. But I think there are a lot of kids that this is a good alternative for. It's a good model for. And I'm really proud to say that I think the Iowa Virtual School provides probably the most significant, robust, intensive, I don't know if that's the right word, but they're actually teaching and expecting kids to learn and helping kids to learn.
That's good.
So I think there are a lot of programs that are popping up that it's, like I said before, it's just kind of a... Everybody else is doing it, so we'll slap something together. I'm proud of our program.
How many kids in the pipeline?
I think there are over 130. I want to say 140 was the number, but the pipeline it's a little misleading because there are, I don't want to say a backlog, but there are kids that have applied and still are awaiting to get onboarded, enrolled, have all the meetings, all the schedules and things done. And then there are some people that, they fill out the application and you never hear from them again. Or there are the people that are just looking for the path of least resistance and what's the easiest option. And then they find out that this is going to be, there are going to be expectations, so they quickly leave the pipeline. So they're the constant kind of, I don't want to say grind, but they're just constantly churning to get all the kids enrolled, make sure the kids have everything in place to be successful. So I'm pretty optimistic that, you know, by next year, we're probably going to be up kind of in those target areas. But as you recall, we were talking about 500, 750 kids in year one. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But they make progress towards that every week, it seems like.
All right. So they've been good to work with, though.
They've been wonderful. I mean, very serious folks, very committed to education, very responsive. So I feel like it's a good partnership.
Ron Lorenz with me, superintendent of the Red Oak Community School District. There's a link on the website to find about more about that if that's something that people are interested in. So, all right, Mr. Lorenz, I want to talk just briefly about the school profile, the school report card, or whatever the correct terminology is there. And I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Lorenz, at first glance, it doesn't look really necessarily great.
No.
For the Red Oak schools, and in particular Inman. What's going on? I want you to explain that to me.
I think it's a common refrain, something that we've talked about for the past couple of years, and something that we certainly share with our SIAC group. When you look at our scores and you compare them to the state average, they're not what we want them to be, particularly at Inman.
Yeah.
The thing that I always tell people is that we tend to start a little bit behind and then we get caught up. And that's important to me because we tend to look at our kids ready to go out into the world and make their mark by the time they graduate from Red Oak High School. And the answer to that is yes. So our scores improve each year that a kid is in the system. And that is not just a product of, you know, junior high school or senior high school teachers. That's truly a system effort. Those elementary folks are working hard. They're doing all the right things in terms of looking at data, making instructional decisions based on student achievement. And I think it is easy to say, what's going on?
Yeah.
And the simple answer is, we've got a lot of kids that kind of start behind the eight ball with us. They come to us and they're behind. And we have to do everything we can to get them caught up.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I tip my hat to the folks at Inman because they're working double time to make that happen. And they don't get a lot of accolades because the scores aren't shining. But at the same time, I shudder to think what they would be if we didn't have such dedicated professionals in our elementary school just grinding every
yeah.
day.
So looking at the data, Red Oak, like you say, behind the eight ball, and I'm, you know, just you start off with a high number of some socioeconomic challenges within the school district. There's also another number that we were talking about the off-air that I was not familiar with. For special education. I want you to touch me about the entitlement rate.
We have a disproportionate number of kids who are entitled to special education services.
By about 5% more than other schools.
Typically, you want to see entitlement rates of less than 10%. You know, I think the average, a few years ago, the average was 9.8% or something like that. I couldn't tell you what it is today. Ours is over 15%. So that means we're starting with more kids that have very specialized needs, that have gaps mm-hmm. that we have to fill. And that's one of the things that really pulls us down, because when you look at, so for instance, Inman's overall score, they were 2 points from an acceptable rating. But because of our achievement gaps and the extent of our achievement gaps, that pulls them down mm-hmm. a designation mm-hmm. to a targeted or needs improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Our high school was actually, they were in the, I don't know if it's exceptional or excellent, what the designation is, but they were pulled down to an acceptable because of those achievement gaps.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of work to do, and it's nothing new. I mean, this is something that we've been wrestling with. We've had plans in place. We do resource allocation studies. We go through a number of steps to try to identify what can we do to help these kids that are struggling academically.
Yeah.
Many of which, you know, that's
yep.
they're starting behind, as I said before.
Yeah.
So it's an important job. It's a big job. You know, we take responsibility for it. I would love to come in here and tell you that our scores are, you know, in the acceptable to excellent range. I can't do that. But I can say that we're doing everything we can to rectify that.
Yes. It is one of those things, absolutely, you want to be at the top.
Yeah. That,
I mean, absolutely.
It's a lot easier when you're sitting at the top. I would love to be getting praise and everybody saying, oh, look, at you're doing such a great job. Because I think the assumption is if the scores aren't, you know, where you want them, then people say, well, you must not be doing a good job. But there are a whole lot of intervening factors.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say? You've got that look like you're about to drop a bomb.
So I'm going to say that this is something that I've had the opportunity to be involved with the Red Oak schools a lot. Through our kids going to school there, through going to a lot of meetings, a lot of events. I can tell you that I think if you took our staff, the Red Oak Community School District staff, top to bottom, you put those staff in another district that doesn't deal with a lot of those same issues. Pick one. Any of those growing districts that have tons of people moving into them, and they're building high schools as fast as they can build high schools.
Tons of resources.
You're going to have the results that those schools have, maybe even better, because our people know how to work. They are dealing with what is put in front of them. And I just think for people to come out and say, you're not doing your job, you don't know what you're talking about most of the time. Most of those people have no clue what's going on. And I don't, and even someone who sits here and observes it more than most people, I still don't know what goes on every day in the classroom, because, and I know that a lot of hard work goes into that. And it, when people, the easy thing is, well, you're not doing your job. That's the easy thing. Once you go understand what's going on in the classroom, and then come talk to me.
Yeah.
I want to roll that into one other thing. And Mr. Lenz, this is me talking.
Okay.
This is me. Declining enrollment, there's a community roundtable event that you have worked on to organize. I think that we need to get all of the entities in the room and talk about declining enrollment. This is not only a Red Oak Community School District issue. This is a Red Oak issue. This is a Montgomery County issue. This is a rural Iowa issue. Everybody needs to get on the table and pull in the same direction. Our tax rates are high. I remember when the Red Oak schools had the bond issue. This is going to stabilize our enrollment. This is going to help us recruit and retain teachers. We're going to go to, and it's going to do all these things. Well, at this point, obviously, that has not happened. So what needs to happen to get everybody in the room on the same page, working in the right direction? So you have stepped forward and said, I'm going to have a discussion.
Well, I think
I want you to tell me about that.
I think the credit for that goes to the school board. And I'll just kind of back us up and talk about where this really started percolating. And that was about midsummer. We were starting to do our preliminary numbers, and I was starting to get a little bit worried about where we were going to be in terms of enrollment. And I share those things with the board weekly. And at that point, when I said I was fearful that we were going to be down as much as 80 students again, I think it was Kathy Walker said, well, how can that be? Where are these kids going? So she said, can you tell me where these kids are going? Because I think the assumption is that they're open enrolling or that they're dropping out or whatever the case may be. So we went back and started crunching the numbers, disaggregating and looking at records requests. Since last January, we had 56 students move out of our school district, move away to places like Kansas.
And you don't mean open enroll to another.
No.
You mean the families have moved.
Physically relocated. They left our schools and asked us to send their records to
different districts. Community problem.
That is, and I would say it's a community problem. It's a county problem. It's a regional problem. It's a rural America problem. Because when you look at where those folks are going to, they're going to more populated areas, presumably because there are
more
jobs, better jobs. I don't know what other factors may be in there. But so we lost 56 kids just physically moved away from our community. Our graduating class, I think, was 76 kids last year. Our kindergarten class is 50.
We're shrinking.
So that's just the reality. And when you look at our numbers historically over the past, I look at a 10-year trend, but I know this goes back even further than that. I'm safe in saying 15 years, we average 15 to 20 kids a year that we lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's not sustainable. And the terms I like to put it in is that it's kind of like a business. If your revenues were shrinking, you've got to do something differently. Either you downsize, you diversify, whatever business people do.
Mm-hmm.
We can't raise prices. So we're pretty much stuck with, you know, what we're provided based on the enrollment that we have. So with that in mind, you know, when we went back and we said to our board, we've had, 50, 60 kids just move away. We had some board members say, well, that's not a school district issue, that's a community issue. What are we going to do? And I give Brett Blackman credit saying, we ought to get some people together and talk about this. So the board asks, and I do everything I can to deliver. So I reached out to a number of people. I know Tim Friedhoff is a city councilman, mayoral candidate. Ron Claver at the hospital. Mike Olson, county supervisor, Ben Lundgren, who's the head of the MCDC Economic Development, and myself, everybody that I reached out to, they said, absolutely, I want to participate. So what we're doing is on October 22nd, we're going to have a roundtable. And the premise is just what you said. Declining enrollment doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's tied directly to population trends that affect the whole community, the entire region. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring some folks together. We're going to have a board work session on the 22nd, and we're just going to ask those folks to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, what is it that you're facing from a city, county, regional perspective? What are you, how is that impacting the services that you provide? And then what are you doing to address that? And most importantly, how can we all work together to, as you say, pull in the right direction instead of pointing fingers
yes.
at one another and say, well, you're not doing this, so this is the result. And it is just an opportunity for us to get on the same page. I'll give you credit. I mean, KCSI has been a wonderful partner. The fact that you're going to live stream that,
mm-hmm.
What we've experienced in the past is we've done different community things, and we haven't had a lot of people show up, but we've had an overwhelming number of people attend virtually.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to make sure that everybody had that opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it.
I hope some really good, I'm going to say, actionable items come out of that. I think it has to be a community effort. You can't just continually point fingers. Well, you should be doing something, Mr. Lorenz. Well, the city should be doing something. Well, the hospital. Well, the county. No, mm-hmm. Everybody needs to work together on this issue, I think. So that's great. It's October 22nd.
At 5:30, and right here on KCSI
right.
Radio.
Looking forward to it. Okay. There you go. Let's talk about the WIC.
All right, the WIC.
That will take place either next year or maybe the following year. Where's the status of that?
We've had a lot of conversation, as you know. We have basically formally accepted the invitation to the Western Iowa Conference. Mm-hmm. I actually met with superintendents, all the WIC superintendents, as well as Dr. Nelson in Shenandoah. Wasn't last week, but the week before, and just got confirmation of a lot of things. First of all, a great group of people. Both Audubon and IKM Manning are planning to leave the WIC at the end of this current year
mm-hmm.
and join the Rolling Valley Conference, and that's a done deal. And I say that because they're not subject to the same requirements that we are, because their decision was made prior to July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So during that meeting, we started to work through some logistics, and what we found out is that all of the WIC schools are anxious for us to join them next year.
Mm-hmm.
So both Shenandoah and Red Oak have formally given our notice to the Hawkeye 10, told them that we would like them to waive the 2-year notice requirement so that we could leave at the end of the school year, join the WIC next year.
Yes.
But there is one obstacle that we have to overcome.
26-27 next year.
Next fall.
Yep.
So the obstacle that we have to overcome is this new state conference realignment committee. This past July, there was legislation that was passed that was approved by the governor that said this state conference realignment committee has to approve all conference changes, which I think on the surface is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to add some consistency to the whole process. The problem is when they pass legislation and they say it is enacted, you know, on July 1st, our friends in the legislature don't understand, apparently, that there's this big, long process, this administrative rulemaking process. So from July through December, we're operating with no guidance
mm-hmm.
whatsoever. And in this case, the rules haven't been written yet, so they cannot impanel the committee yet, and they're not going to do so until January, which means we won't get a formal decision until February. Now, I've reached out to Senator Shipley, Representative Moore. They've in turn reached out to the Speaker of the House, Mr. Grassley. I have contacted every member of the State Board of Education, asking them to waive this requirement in our case so that we can proceed with all the things we have to do. I've reached out to the Director of the Department of Education, asking that she use her executive privilege to waive this requirement in this particular example. I've heard back from one member of the state board. I haven't heard back from Director Snow. I will give credit to Tom Shipley and Tom Moore. They got right back to me, and they're working. It's just one of those things where we're kind of caught in this bureaucratic trap. So rather than sit and worry about that, we are assuming that we are going to be approved, because what we've been told up to this point is, so long as everybody agrees, all of the members of the leaving district as well as the members of the receiving district, or conference, I should say, so long as all the players are in agreement, that they're going to fast-track those and rubber stamp it effectively.
Yeah. Common sense would say, common sense, but that doesn't always rule the day,
so
unfortunately.
We are planning to make the move next year, and if anything happens, any roadblocks are thrown up, we're going to pivot, we'll adapt. But right now, we're about, I don't know what, say 80% that it's going to be next year. And if it's not next year, it's going to be the next after that. So I think we're moving, it's going to happen, and you know, every conference is in the same boat. The Hawkeye 10's in the same boat. You know, we know that Carroll is wanting to come.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawkeye 10 wants them next year. So we're all just in this,
I think,
wait and see.
Lewis Central's going somewhere else, and there's a whole, everyone starts to shuffle. Did you see the Andy Griffith episode when Barney stepped into real estate?
I did, actually. I'm a big Andy Griffith fan.
And, you know, if you buy this house, I'll buy that house, and then it all fell apart. But
I think today we call that a pyramid scheme.
So
but
anyway, I'm just saying this is a little bit, but this board that is not impaneled yet will have the ultimate say, and hopefully common sense does move forward with that. So that's where that's at. That is going to happen, either 26-27 or 27-28.
And I think it's more likely than not that it's going to happen next year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mark Erickson has already begun working with the other WIC activities directors. We're setting up schedules. They're starting to get events planned. So it's behind the scenes, moving pretty quickly.
Yeah. Ron Lorenz with me, superintendent of the Red Oak Community Schools. One other issue, Mr. Lorenz, that has been all over the news. It has been national news. It has been the source of a number of talk shows. It has been all over. How in the world does someone get to be the superintendent of the largest school district in Iowa, 30,000 students? He's making a little over $300,000 a year, very prominent in the community, and apparently no one checked his immigration status, some of his previous misgivings that he's had, and even if he's legitimately credentialed like he says he is. How in the world does that happen?
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of people are saying that. There's a lot of finger pointing between, well, quite frankly, Jackie Norris, the president of the Des Moines Courts School District, between Ray and Associates, who I think we've used Ray and Associates in previous. I mean, everybody's saying they didn't do it, you did it, you should have done it. What in the world, Mr. Lorenz?
I can talk about the lengths that we go to as a school district, and in fact, all school districts in the state are required to go to. I don't have an answer for you, because when you think about the fact that whenever we hire certified personnel, we have to conduct a criminal background check, an FBI check, you know, with fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
We have to verify that those individuals do not appear on any sex offender registries, on any child abuse registries, on any adult abuse registries.
This is not Red Oak community policy.
This is statewide.
Statewide.
We have to conduct reference checks. In fact, we have to do at least one on a prescribed form. We are required to reach out to the previous district and ask them, you know, is this person a quality individual? Is this a person that you would rehire? We have to do that, and we have to maintain records of that. We have to check their immigration status. We have to verify their I-9 forms. I've been hiring people for 25 years, and I don't know how this happens, to be quite honest with you. Somebody dropped the ball somewhere, or somebody's dropped balls at different points. I wouldn't want to venture a guess as to who, but
there's a lot of finger pointing, Mr. Lorenz.
And you know,
a lot.
I think the lesson that I've learned from this is not everything is political. Not everything is part of a conspiracy or some sinister agenda.
It's way more fun to talk about, though, if it is.
It is, but sometimes the situation is what it is. And when you read some of the stuff that's coming out, it makes me wonder about all those folks that kind of started protesting before there was any information out there. And like you said, the finger pointing, it's just, and politicians trying to make hay, use this as their, as an opportunity to push their agendas. It's just I think the issues get obscured by all of the rhetoric.
Yeah.
And at this point, when you follow the news, and I've still got my old links to the Central Iowa news feeds, KCCI-TV, they may have 10 news stories listed on their page. I think the past couple of weeks, 8 of them have been
around this.
Dr. Ian Roberts.
Yeah.
And
did you know the guy?
I've met the guy once, and I told you before, he came off as every bit the gentleman. So I would not have any reason to suspect anything nefarious, but there are certainly a lot of things that are coming out that really make you wonder.
And at this
point,
you know, you're innocent until proven guilty where we live, but it sure seems like, goodness gracious, how does that happen?
Yeah. I don't know. I think the last couple of weeks I've had a lot of people, last week, I've had a lot of people just kind of come in and inquire. Danny Robertson came in and stopped at my office the other day, wanted to make sure that I had a green card and I was good. And I assured him, I said, Danny, I was born here in Iowa, you know.
No. That was the subject of a presidential election here a few cycles ago.
But I think everybody's talking about it. And I go back to your original question. I don't know how this could happen. I think at best it's just a general lack of oversight, and at worst it's a pretty egregious misstep. And I'm not going to get into whether somebody was hired because of this factor or that factor or whatever the case may be. I'm not inclined to think of this in terms of a racial issue or a political issue or an urban versus rural issue. It's just
But here's the problem. When something like this happens, there will be some sort of legislation or something that is enacted that will impact every school district in the state and create one more thing that has to be done.
You are absolutely right, and that is...
Whereas there are existing laws that would have prevented this had they been... or codes that would have prevented this had they been followed.
Well, and that's my point. The reason that I've been following this so carefully is not because I'm a person that doom scrolls or is really interested in those salacious kinds of stories. It's because politically, I know just what you said. There is going to be fallout, and as I'm going to say this, and somebody's going to be offended, but every year it seems like there's a knucklehead in Des Moines that does something or a knucklehead in Urbandale that does something, and then we have these laws that are thrown together very quickly, and they're foisted on everybody in the state. Very few of us had these issues in the first place. We're doing, as you said, exactly what we're supposed to be doing, following the existing laws, legal requirements, administrative requirements, and then there's one more thing that we have to do. And for the people in Des Moines, it doesn't impact them as much because they have teams of people that are doing this. Here in Red Oak, we have one or two.
Well, yeah, and when you get dinged every audit for segregation of duties because of the size, and every school district around us has that because there aren't enough people.
Exactly.
This is what you're up against.
It's frustrating, and I know that I've talked to Tom Shipley about this. He sees it coming too. He knows, and he advocates, and he goes to bat, and I know Tom Moore does too, to just say, look, don't make your problems everybody's problem. Fix those things internally. Go to the source and say, hey, clean your own house without going to everybody else and putting more burdens upon them.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that making sure that we have quality people in our schools, making sure that our schools are safe is a burden. We should be doing those things. But I believe 99% of districts across the state already are.
All right. We'll leave it there.
Yeah. Now I'll climb down off my soapbox now.
Ron Lorenz, superintendent of the Red Oak Community School District. Mr. Lorenz, anything else that we need to touch on or be aware of?
I did not do my list of activities this week. I know that I've got on my docket, I'm going to go watch volleyball, middle school volleyball this afternoon. We've also got a JV football game.
Yep.
But for the rest of the week, I'm just kind of living it day by day.
Yeah, there's volleyball this week, some consequential volleyball at the high school level. Cross country. How about cross country?
There.
That's going on. And football. Trainer Friday night. That's at home.
I do want to give a shout out to my my young friend Pace Shelley.
Yes.
Was at the cross country meet in Shenandoah, stepped in a hole, really boogered up his knee.
Yep.
He's pretty upset about the whole deal. Just a, you know, tough kid. He runs cross country and plays football.
Yep.
He does everything that's expected of him in the classroom, and he's just crestfallen over this. So I'm excited about the cross country team and all the great things they're doing. I'm really sad for Pace because it looks like he might not get to finish the year out. I hope he does. He goes to see a doctor tomorrow, but he's got some pretty significant injuries to his knee.
Yeah. Hope, you know, like you say, you hope for the best case with that.
So. We're going to pray for him.
Very good. Mr. Lorenz, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to visit with you. Make it a good one. Ron Lorenz with me, superintendent of the Red Oak Community School District.